Merry Christmas, if I haven't said it to you yet. Merry Christmas to you. Today is, this is not the last Sunday of the year, is it? There's one more Sunday, right? Okay, here's a challenge for you, whatever you want to call it. We haven't baptized in a long time. We haven't baptized in way too long. If you haven't been baptized, if you haven't been received Jesus Christ and been baptized in the name of our Lord and Savior, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you have not been baptized, if you've not been saved, if you've not received Jesus Christ, don't let this year close without you doing that. Amen. Now, I can't convince you. I can't talk you into it. I wouldn't want to if I could, because it wouldn't be real. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit, He's speaking to you and He's telling you, you need to trust me. Amen. You need to trust me. And I want to give you the chance to respond to that. And I told you, it's Wednesday night, we have a Christmas Eve service. I would love to fill the baptistry. Amen. Well, that'd be awesome. That'd be something you'd never forget. I don't want you to do it just so that we can do it, but listen. The end of the year is drawing nigh, but the truth is, we never know when the end, when the real end is coming, and it could be Wednesday may not ever get here. So anyway, I just want to throw that out there. Today I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be reading the first 11 verses here in just a moment. Before we get to the text, you can go ahead and start turning there, but Oswald Chambers once wrote, "It is not God's promises we need. It's God Himself that we need." I've entitled this message today, as I was thinking about Christmas, and you know, you want to preach about Christmas at Christmas time, and so I got to thinking about, well, of course, you know, we always preach about the manger and the virgin birth and the traveling on the donkey and all that, and that's good stuff. We need to do that. But this year I wanted to, I had this thought roaming in my mind, because everybody in my family asked me, "What do you want for Christmas this year, Dad? What do you want for Christmas?" And I said, "What I really want for Christmas, all I want for Christmas, is a package of brand new white undershirts, size 2X. That's it. That's all I've asked for." Now, I know that there are other things under the tree there for me, but that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted as my present. And so I got to thinking about gifts and presents. Presents. Then I got to asking myself, what do I really want? What do I want from God? What kind of present do I want from God? And then it dawned on me, well, Buffalo Head, Mike, do you want God's presence, His presents with a T, gifts, presents, like we give at the Christmas present? Or do you want His presence with a C? Do you want His presence, or do you want His presence? And so that's the title of the message today, His presence or His presence. Which do you prefer? Which do you want? Which do you need? At Christmas time, we often say that God's presence is more important than His presence, His gifts. And this is going to get real confusing, because I'm going to say presence and presence about 100 times today. So, but the amount of time and effort we spend on shopping for gifts may indicate otherwise. We say that we want His presence more than His gifts, but we spend a whole lot of time shopping. In certain parts of the world, did you know that people give presents on December 6th? They do this early. They celebrate, they have the gift-giving part of Christmas early, so that the rest of the year until Christmas, they can just focus on His presence, not His gifts. We can focus on family's presence and not just the family gifts, you see. And we bought a, let's try that at our house next year. Let's have Christmas presents on December 6th. She's good with that. But I want more on the 25th also. When we say that we want God's presence more than gifts from others, perhaps we're being truthful, right? I would say that I want God's presence more than I want gifts from you. I would rather have God's presence. But what do we say about God's gifts? Do we want God's presence more than God's gifts? God gives us gifts too, right? We want health, we want wealth, we want knowledge, we want a better job, we want a better place to live, we want food in the pantry, we want all those things. And God may indeed want to give us these things, but we can't have them apart from Him. You see, when you think about presence, it'd be kind of like us expecting to get presents in the mail without ever having to see the person. But that's not the way God does it. You see, God hand delivers gifts. So you don't get the presence without the presence. You don't get the gifts without the presence of God. So when He comes, He brings His gifts. All good things. Where do they come from? They come down from the Father of heavenly lights. He brings them. He gives gifts. He gives good things. Gifts, even earthly gifts from God, may make us happy for a time, but yet fullness of joy comes only when we remain in a right relationship with God and we enjoy His presence. His presence to us is one of His greatest presents. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. This is after the virgin birth. Okay, I know that we're still before Christmas and we're talking about after the birth, but I want to read these first 11 verses to you. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ was to be born in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned by the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. 6-year-old boys, 3 of them, they were playing the wise men in their church's Christmas program. As they came up to Mary and Joseph at the stable, the first one handed over his gift and he held it up high and said, 6-year-old boys, held up his pot and he said, "I bring you gold." He was one of the wise men. "I bring you gold." The second boy came up and said, "And I have brought myrrh. I give you myrrh." The third one came up and said, "And Frank sent this." Frankincense. Frank's, he didn't quite get it. He said, "Frank sent this." Frankincense. A husband wasn't overjoyed one year when he received a burial plot from his wife as a Christmas present. He was really disappointed the next year when he received nothing. He said, "My feelings are hurt because you didn't give me anything for Christmas this year." She said, "My feelings are hurt because you didn't use the gift I gave you last year." Most of us like to get presents, don't we? I would also say that most of us like to give presents. How many of you like to give presents? I'm a giver. I like to give presents. We parents, we want to please our children, right? So we buy, and we buy, and we buy. And then sometimes we get silly, and we get through with the money, and we start charging, and we charge, and we charge. And we go into debt and we do whatever because we love to give things to our kiddos, to our family. But what do you think pleased the Lord the most on that day? Now, let me make something real clear because we're talking about probably between the birth and this time when the Magi came, we're talking about probably close to a couple years, 18 months, 2 years, shy of 2 years, somewhere in that range. It's been a long time after the birth, okay? But what do you think pleased the Lord the most? Was it the gold, the myrrh, and the frankincense? Or do you think it was just the fact that they showed up? You think God was more impressed with their presence or their presence? Yeah, I would say so. You can ask any of our military men and women serving around the world what they would most like to have for Christmas, and I don't doubt that any of them would not say, I'd like to be home. I'd like to be with my family. Ask their wives, husbands, children, and parents the same thing, and I think you'd receive the same answer. Oh, I'd give anything if they could just be home. Vicki Kelly's not here this morning. I'm going to talk about her. So let that be a warning to you. If you're not here, I may talk about you. But Vicki's under the weather. She's not able to be here. But Blake is here. Blake, come here, Blake. He didn't know I'm doing this. So Blake is home from the Navy. And he's here on a, come on up here. He's here for what they call it, a furlough or a vacation. He's AWOL. He's AWOL. They're looking for him up there, but he's not there. No. I bet you if Vicki were here and I asked her, Vicki, would you rather receive a gift in the mail from this man? Or would you rather have him come home and see his face? I bet you she would say, oh, I'd rather have him. So I can put my arms around him and hug on him and love on him. That's right. Because the truth is, she wants his presence more than his presence. She wants him here more than a gift that she could get from him. I'm glad you're here. I like your presence. You could have brought me a present. That would have been nice. But no. Listen, I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for serving our country. And we pray good and safe. We pray good things for you, that you'll continue to do well and whatnot in the Navy, and that you'll be prosperous, but that you'll be safe. God bless you in everything you do. Thank you. We can give our children or our family and our friends a lot of different kinds of presents for Christmas, but nothing would compare with our presence. Let me share a couple things about presents this morning. And I'm talking about the presents, not gifts, the other presents, the being present, that kind of existence here in front of us, the presence. We can give the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One little girl came home from Sunday school. She was proud that she had memorized a verse of the Bible. She said, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son." She misquoted it. It's not forgotten son, it's begotten son. But, you know, it's a sad, sad truth that sometimes I believe he is the forgotten son at Christmas time, because Christmas has become sometimes more about the guy in the red suit with the white beard or the people ringing the bells in the Salvation Army. Well, all good things, right? Or about stockings and snowmen and elves in this workshop somewhere, right? That's what Christmas sometimes is to people. But folks, sometimes the greatest gift we can give somebody is the presence of the Lord and the true meaning of what Christmas really, really is. When the Lord looks at the way Christmas is celebrated, I wonder if he doesn't feel forgotten sometimes. We have the Christmas trees all lit up and decorations all over the landscape, but where is Christ? In our schools, children have winter break instead of Christmas break sometimes in some of the schools. And that's so that somebody's not offended. Nativity scenes have been banned from Christmas displays on a lot of government properties. There are people that are standing up against that, but It makes news when that happens, because that's not the norm. The norm is, let's get Christ out of Christmas and let's just have happy holidays. Happy holidays. I have a card that I received this year. A beautiful, beautiful card. One of the prettiest cards that I'd received. It's got silver and blue. It's really, really pretty. It says, Season's Greetings. Now, this card did not come from any of you present here, so I'm not pointing anybody out. But it's a beautiful card. Season's Greetings. It says, warmly thinking of you and wishing you a very happy holiday season. And I read that, and I kind of got sad, because that's not a Christmas card. That's a holiday card. There's a difference between a Christmas card and a holiday card. That's just a holiday card. Now, I will say that the people that signed this, they did sign it, Merry Christmas, and then signed their name. But that's just a holiday card. It's not a Christmas card. Let's make it clear this year what the reason for the season is. The greatest present that we can give to our children, our families, and our friends is by sharing with them the presence of the Lord. And as we enter into this Christmas season, if we're going to celebrate Christmas, let's make it about Jesus Christ. We can give gifts that will soon be lost or forgotten or broken even, but we can share the presence of the Lord. Oh, that's a gift that'll last all throughout eternity. This year, let me challenge you, as you gather around your tree or have your family get together, why not take out the Word of God and tell the old, old story? There's a song in our hymn book. Number 122 is the page number, but it says this, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and good tidings to earth. Let's make certain that our families celebrate the birth of Christ this year at Christmas time. His entrance into the world as a babe to become the Savior of all mankind. Don't forget Christmas, the baby that was born for our sins. But let's not remember that he also had a presence on the cross. A lady went to the mall. She was Christmas shopping one year. How many of you have been to the mall during this Christmas season? A lot of smart people have not been to the mall. Good for you. When I think of this little illustration I'm about to read to you, I think of Black Friday, when I got stuck out in Black Friday, and not on purpose, but it happened. And I've made a vow to not let that happen next year, by the way. But a lady went to the mall Christmas shopping with her two children. After many hours of looking at row after row of toys and everything else imaginable, and after hours of hearing both her children ask for everything they put their eyes upon, she finally made it to the elevator with her two kids. She was feeling what so many of us feel during the holiday season each time, every year. Overwhelming pressure to go to every party, every housewarming, taste all the holiday food and treats, get that perfect gift for every single person on our shopping list, and make sure we don't forget anyone on our card list. And the pressure of making sure we respond to everyone who sent us a card, right? How many of you feel like, oh, if they send me a card, I've got to send them a card back? Yeah, okay. Well, she pushed her way into the elevator, and she dragged her two kids with her and all the bags of stuff that she had just crammed in there. And when the doors closed, she couldn't take it anymore. And she stated loudly, whoever started this whole Christmas thing should be found, strung up, and shot. It got really, really quiet in the elevator. And then a quiet, calm voice from the back said, don't worry, we already crucified him. You see, she got to thinking that Christmas, this whole thing was just terrible because it was just all about this, and rush, and pressure. And somebody reminded everybody in the elevator, that's not what Christmas is. Christmas is a celebration of Jesus Christ. You see, the cradle without the cross means nothing. Some are content as long as the baby stays in the manger. But we must remember that what makes Christmas so special is not just that he was born into the world, but that he went all the way to the cross. Jesus came to die. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world to go to the cross. Christmas is all about the love of God, and that love was displayed on the cross. But the story does not end at the cradle. It does not end at the cross, thank the Lord. The cross would have accomplished nothing if Jesus had remained in the cemetery. That song, verse 3 of that same song says, "Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again." Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, "Love, pay the ransom for me." You see, the babe in the manger grew up and he went to the cross. And he died, giving himself as a ransom for all the world. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave and he lives and he lives. Praise God, he lives. We can share the presence of the Lord in the manger. We can share the presence of the Lord at the cross. We can share the presence of the Lord at an empty tomb. We can share the presence of the Lord in the clouds. You see, the good news about Christmas is it does not end at the cradle, the cross, not even the cemetery. For he shall one day return in the clouds, and so shall we be ever with the Lord. But that just doesn't happen for everybody. And maybe you're saying, "Well, Brother Mike, how do I know? How do I know that I get to join the party in the clouds?" Here's the secret, okay? You're listening? It's going to be mind-boggling to you, okay? Because the world has said, well, there's many, many ways, and it gets very confusing because it's like, is it this way, or is it this way, or is it this way over here? Do I have to sit with my legs crossed and have my fingers in a certain position? Do I have to do, what do I have to do? Here it is. The words of Jesus Christ, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." I just made it really, really simple for you. Jesus Christ is the only way. It's it. I don't apologize for that. I didn't make it up. I'm not saying it. I'm just repeating what God has already said. Jesus Christ is the only way. How do I do that, you might ask? Well, here's where we have difficulty, because we have to admit that we're wrong. We have to admit that we've done wrong. We have to admit that we are sinners and we have broken God's law and his commandments and what his design for our lives are. We have to come to him and say, "Lord, I messed it up. I've done things that go against your will, and I'm sorry, and I don't ever want to do that again. Matter of fact, I've proven to you that I can't run my own life right, and so I want to ask you to come and run my life for me, because I trust in you that you'll do it right, and I thank you for the forgiveness that you offer me that I can get no other way. And I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior." That's what trusting in Jesus Christ means. And when you do that, listen, God doesn't expect you to get yourself all squared away, straightened up, get yourself perfected, and then come to Christ. He says, "Come just as you are. Let me forgive you. Let me save you. And then we'll work on fixing you up." You see, there's part of that fixing up that you can't even do. That's why when you receive Jesus Christ, when you accept him into your life, he comes with the Holy Spirit and he comes in here, and then action begins. And the Holy Spirit dwelling within you begins to change us. That is what it means to receive Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to ask your young children, what would they prefer? A new bicycle or an hour of playing time with mom or dad? What do you think they'd say? "Give me the bike." They say, "I want the bicycle. I want the bike." That's right. They, without hesitation, "Give me the bike." But listen, 20 years from now, the thing that will mean the most to them, and what will be most remembered, won't be the bicycle. It'll be your presence with them. Zachary was telling me, a co-worker at his work this week, just this last week, his father had passed away. And Zachary was telling me that his friend came up to him and said, "Zachary, spend every minute you can with your dad, because there's going to come a day when he's not going to be there anymore." That illustration, that experience that just happened to Zachary this last week, by somebody who understands and realizes, you know what? That's right. They're not always here. Take advantage of their presence while they're here. I want to tell you, take advantage of those people in your life while they're here. I also want to tell you, take advantage of the presence of the Lord while he's here. We want God's presence. We want his gifts, right? How many of you want things from God? Presence, gifts from God. Yes, we want those, and there's nothing wrong with that. We want those things, but listen, what we really, really need is his presence. Is his presence with us in our lives. Now, we've talked about things that we get from God, his gifts and his presence. All right? His presence and presence. Okay? I'm going to close with this. What is it that we give to God? What is it that we give to God? What do you think God desires from us? Do you think he desires our presence or our presence? Do you think he is more overjoyed with what you put in the offering plate or with what you donate to the church or with what you give or with time you give to the church? Or do you think he is more impressed with you just spending time with him on his knees, on your knees? Oh yeah, your presence is what God desires more than the gifts that you could give to him. I need to point out that you can physically be somewhere, but spiritually absent. Some may be even physically here in this church, in this building today, but spiritually you're just out to lunch. You're nowhere near the presence of God. Let me encourage you to think beyond the physical stuff today and this Christmas. Let's focus on the intangibles, the relationship with both friends and family and with our Creator and our Sustainer, the author and the finisher of our faith, with our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. What a great, great gift that God has already purchased and wrapped up with a big red and white bow, and it's beautiful. It's called salvation. And that gift is waiting for you to just tear into it and enjoy it and have a good time and love it. But you don't receive the gift until you choose to open it. Maybe you're here today and you've never received that gift. It's free to you, but it cost God something tremendously, tremendously huge. How many of you would give up your child for someone on the other side of the world? Is there anybody in this room that would do that? I didn't think so. I don't think I'd be willing and ready to do that myself. But that's what God did for you. He said, "I love you. Call your name. I love you that much. I'm going to give up my own son to redeem you, that I can have you with me for all of eternity." That's why Jesus came into the world. That is what Christmas is, folks. Had it not been for Christ coming into the world, we would be stuck far away from God. But God said, "I want you close. I want your presence with me. So I'm going to send a present to you." That's Jesus Christ. That is Christmas. Don't let this Christmas be like any other Christmas in your life. Let this Christmas be the time when you receive that gift for genuinely receive that gift for all of eternity. This Christmas, enjoy that gift. Your presence with your family is important. Presence to your family is important. But your presence with God is vital. And his presence with you is equally vital. I pray if you've not done that, that you'll receive that today. Maybe you just need to come and renew your, not like a New Year's resolution that gets broken every year, right? I'm talking about something that's life-changing. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you need to talk about it. I'll be here in the front. My wife will be here in the front if you want to talk to her. Maybe you just need to bypass everybody and come straight to the altar. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings by doing that. This is not about me. It's not about anything else. It's about you and your relationship with God. You do whatever you need to do to square that away. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this time of year. And we thank you, Father, that you have given to us the best Christmas present ever, and that is your presence. Father, help us to understand that that is a great and mighty gift that you've given us. Help us to receive it, Father. Help us to open it up. Help us to enjoy it. And help us to dive further and further into that relationship with you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand as we sing, please.